We hope you enjoy this message from Anne Marie Covert as she reveals God's heart for healing the sick during Disciple of City's Activate Equipping event. Visit discipleofcity.ca for information and event information.
Thank you. Okay, I'm really excited. Oh, goodness me. So, for those of you who've heard me speak before, you might hear a little bit of repetition of some stories I've shared before, but hopefully a lot of it will be also new. I've kind of been off the radar for a while. For those of you who don't know me, I've recently had a baby. And actually, during the last praise night, I was giving birth. So, I wasn't here. I was in the hospital, and then I had my beautiful son, Samuel, who is now 8 months old. And seeing this little baby Clayton here is like the hormones in me are surging right now because he's super cute. But I'm really excited to be here. Samuel will be joining me for praise night later, so if you see another cutie with little blue headphones, he's probably mine. But I'm excited to be here because I haven't done this in a while, and I love sharing God's heart. I love talking about healing. So I'm just going to believe and pray in Jesus' name that the words that I speak, God, are your words and not my own. And I thank you so much for revealing your goodness and your heart and the simplicity of the gospel to us today. And thank you, Stephen, for what you shared earlier. Awesome. Solid. And I overheard Stephen say he's half Scottish and half Italian. I'm not sure about that, though, because I'm half Italian, and as you can already see, I talk with my hands. And I didn't see a lot of that, so I might be more Italian. We'll see. But, okay, enough of that. We don't want any strife or conflict, right? So I want to share a little bit of my heart when it comes to healing, and I want to share a personal story. And the reason why I want to do that is because I want to hopefully get across that I understand the discouragement in this area. I think when we talk about healing, we need to at least acknowledge that, because in the body of Christ, I do believe there's a lot of confusion and a lot of discouragement when it comes to healing. So when I was born, my mother became very sick. I'm talking literally as she was giving birth to me. And my entire life growing up, she was very, very ill. I didn't actually know the mom who was, according to my grandmother, extremely witty. She was an artist, and she was almost a professional tennis player. What I knew was a mother who was so ill she couldn't get out of bed in the morning, slept on the couch all day, and thought that she was the worst person in the entire world. And I grew up, that was normal to me. That's what I knew, and it was normal. And then I went to university, and it was the first time in my life when I was away from my mom for an extended period of time. I was one of her main caregivers, and when I went away, my brother and my grandmother took over, and I sort of was away from just that illness for the first time. And when I was in university, so I grew up in a Christian home, but when I was in university, I met people who had joy and who knew who they were. A lot of what Stephen was sharing, they walked in that identity, and I was like, I want what they have, because I knew I didn't have it. And I found out who God was in new ways, I grew closer to him, and had this amazing growth journey. Then I graduate and I go back home, and I'm starting to think about my mom again, because I'm married now, but I'm still living close to where she was. She was in my life more again, and her illness was at the forefront again. So one day I was with God. I'm in this new place with God where I know him better, and I'm more aware of him. So I said, God, is it your will to heal my mom or not? And I just put it out there as a question, because innocently in my heart, I didn't know, and I didn't want to pray something that wasn't God's will. I know the scripture says if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions we've asked of him. I knew that scripture, so I thought, well, if it's his will, then I can know it, and I can have it. But is it your will, God? And I had no idea the door I was opening when I asked that question. God took me on a beautiful journey, revealed his word to me in new ways, just showed me so much truth that I didn't know was there. And I won't hold it back any longer. I'll tell you what I believe his will is, and then I'll hopefully expand on that. But I believe he showed me it is always his will to heal. And I was like, okay, so I'm going to believe for my mom. And I did. That was back in 2006. And I believed. I memorized scripture. If there was a sermon on healing, I was devouring it. I refused to say my mom was sick. I said, no, by his stripes she is healed. I did all the things that maybe some of you have done or have learned. And then in 2010, my mom died. and she wasn't healed. And I had to, sorry, no, 2008, I apologize. In 2008 she died and she wasn't healed. So that's 2 years of believing my whole heart, and she died. And I remember that I remember standing outside the house that when I heard her, that she had died, and I just went to God, and I realized I had this like crossroads in front of me, and I had two ways I could go. I could go one way and say, you know what? It might be nice to believe it's God's will to heal, but my mom wasn't healed, so therefore it probably wasn't his will. So I could go that way and say my circumstances were truth, my experience was truth, what had happened to my mom was truth. Or I could choose, make a huge self-sacrifice of everything that was in me that was screaming. I could choose to say, or, is your word still truth? Even though this happened, is your word still truth? Is your heart still right? Is your word still good? Is your heart still good? Even though this happened. And even though, like I said, everything in me was screaming, I chose that path. I chose to say, God, I don't get it. I don't understand it, but I still believe it's your will to heal because you showed me in your word, you revealed your heart to me. This doesn't make sense, but I believe it. And so I share that story with you because I know, like I grew up in a church where we teach, God wants you sick to teach you something. It's still said from the pulpit today. I've believed that for most of my life. And I know firsthand a lot of the very deep discouragement that come when you don't see healing happen. Good people have not been healed. I've had things where I haven't been healed from things. Like, it's a very real thing. But I want to put that out there and hope that now we can move forward from that, because I do believe that God wants to break down some of our old mindsets today. Now, my sister Sarah, she's my best friend, I call her my sister, when she said that God put on her heart today about expectation and anticipation, like unity in the spirit, because that's exactly what I believe God wants to talk to us today with regard to healing, is expectation. I'm a social worker by trade, and I do speaking sometimes when I talk about mental health and things like that. And I will tell you honestly, I am a better speaker when the people are expecting to get something from me. Mm-hmm. Expectation is very powerful.
Yeah.
It's like going to a buffet full. It's like when you go to something when you're not expecting something. You're going to get more out of a buffet if you're hungry than if you're already full. And if you come to hear the word of the Lord expecting something, you're going to get more. And it actually puts a draw on the anointing. So if I have an anointing on me from God to speak or to teach, if you're expecting to get something, you're actually going to make a demand on that and draw something out of me that might not have come otherwise. And I believe that healing is very similar. So this is something new God's been teaching me in the area of healing. So yes, I believe we can heal by faith. The word absolutely says that, and I will talk about that. Yes, I believe we can be healed through the laying on of hands. I also believe we can, as a body of Christ, set up an atmosphere of expectation. So a couple of years ago, I was actually healed of something when I wasn't looking for it. I was in a worship service with a group of people in this community, just praising God. All I could think of was him. I wasn't thinking about healing. But during that time, I remember thinking about my knees. I just kept on saying my knees. I don't know why, I was just thinking about my knees. And that's all. And then I went home, I looked in the mirror, and I saw that my knees looked different. So during that service, just in that adoration of God, when people were corporately adoring him together, I got healed and didn't even notice. And so I believe, and I'm so excited you all came here today, because you guys are all wanting to learn and grow in this area. I believe as a body of Christ, if we learn and grow together, we're going to create an atmosphere where that happens. An atmosphere where people, whoop, just got to get healed without even looking for it. So in the Bible, there was a situation where, I meant to look up the reference, darn, I didn't do it. But there's a situation where it actually says, and power was available for them to be healed. Okay? So Jesus could always heal the sick. He could always lay hands. He could always say a word. Can you guys hear me? This is okay with the mic and the, okay. He could always heal the sick. So why did scripture say that there was power available for them to be healed? Because wasn't there always power available? I believe It was because there was a crowd of people expecting to receive healing. Power was available. Okay? And expectation takes a lot of different forms. Is this okay? Now I'm hearing myself in a really different way. Is it too loud now, or is that okay for you guys?
It's Luke 5:17.
Luke 5:17, do you want to read it?
Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching, and there were Pharisees, that's a long time, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them.
The power of the Lord was present to heal them. There was an atmosphere of expectation that was created. If you've heard of the woman with the issue of blood, her story, I'm probably going to hang out in the book of Matthew for a bit if you want to go there. Actually, before I even go there, I'm going to go somewhere else first. So in Matthew 8, at the very beginning, we have someone asking the very question that I'm addressing today. So a man with leprosy came to Jesus, and he said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." This was at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So people didn't know yet what the will of God was. So he had to ask. And what did Jesus say? In Matthew 8, verse 3, Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." I don't know about you, but when I look in the Bible, I don't see any other examples of people asking Jesus what his will was. Because word spread quickly. If he was willing for one, he'd be willing for others. I don't see a single example of Jesus where someone goes to him to be healed and he says, "Oh, wait, I can't. The Father wants to teach you something." We don't see it. If you do, please show me, because I am willing to say I am wrong. I am absolutely willing, but I need to see it in here, because this is what I've decided to base my life upon. And so we don't see it. And yet, because we've seen things that don't line up with our experiences, like my mom, because we've seen those things, we've created, unconsciously or consciously, a theology that explains reasons why we don't see people healed. And you know what? I even read an article about that. I remember seeing an article that said 21 reasons why people aren't healed. And honestly, I could still look at those things because I do want to pursue healing. I do want to see people healed. But I feel like God doesn't even want me to pay attention to that. Don't pay attention to the reasons why it doesn't happen. Pay attention to the reasons why it does. So in 2006, I believe God showed me it was his will to heal. But it was going to be another 10 years before I saw my first miracle. And what happened 10 years later was I had a friend who was radically healed with celiac at a conference. And I was like, "Oh, I believe in healing, and that's the first person I've ever known to actually be healed. I need to find out what conference this was." And if you've heard of Todd White, she went to a Todd White conference. So if you don't know who Todd White is, he's like a modern day John the Baptist. He's got like dreadlocks down to his butt, and like he's just really super tanned, and like, but he's hilarious. And he like has such an identity, he's a son of God. And he really modeled to me how simple it is. If you haven't seen him, Google when you get home, God Squad. So it's Todd White on the streets praying for people, and you actually see miracles before your eyes, like legs grow, like it's just the whole nine yards. It's like, you know, it's like the New Testament happening on the streets. So now I had the theology that I believed it was God's will because I found it in the Word, and I never saw Jesus say, "No, I can't heal you, the Father wants to heal you." I never saw that. I just saw where it said Jesus healed everyone who came to him. Jesus healed all the sick. The multitudes came to him and were healed. That's all I saw. But now I had all this theology 10 years sitting on a shelf, and now I have a friend who's been radically healed through a guy named Todd White. So what was the key? What was I missing? Practice. That was a big part of it. So just go ahead and do it. Part of my early teaching and what I had learned was just have enough faith. Like just meditate on scripture and just have enough faith. But the problem with that was I got so focused on, do I have enough faith? Do they have enough faith? That actually had no expectation because I was so focused on, do I have enough faith? I actually didn't have enough faith. I got fearful. It became a works gospel. Amory, are you a good enough Christian? And are you holy enough? And have you meditated on God enough today in the scripture? And have you not sinned so that you are ready and prepared to pray for that person? And then they also opened to it. And it was like this big formula in my brain that made it way too complicated. And I never saw anyone healed. But then when God showed me, actually it's simple, that just like it's a finished work at the cross with salvation, it's actually a finished work with healing. So all you have to do is not even ask for it, but just say in the name of Jesus, shoulder be made well. That's all I have to do, really, God? Really? And you know, I didn't have to be spiritual that day. So my first miracle, some of you have heard this story. And I say my first miracle, it's God's miracle through me, but the first one I got to participate in, it was my birthday. And I was shopping for shoes. Because with Payless, you get a coupon on your birthday if you sign up for their spam. Yep. Anyone who knows me knows I like a good deal. So I was in Payless on my birthday, Lansdowne Mall here in town. And I'm really happy because I got these like two pairs of shoes for like $20. It was awesome. And I'm at the counter and I'm talking to this beautiful girl named Emily. And as we're talking, I'm just excited because I've got shoes, it's my birthday. And I just had this moment of, God, you really love this girl, don't you? And instantly I heard in my spirit, hearing loss. And I was like, what? That's random. So that's a word of knowledge. I didn't really know that then. I was divinely given this word of knowledge that this girl in front of me had hearing loss. But I was like, no, that's just my imagination. So we finished our little talk and I left the store with my husband and we kept on shopping in the mall. But that thought, hearing loss, stayed with me. It wouldn't go away. So my husband had no idea while we're hanging out and shopping that I'm having a one-way conversation with God about all the reasons why that word was not from him. That I made it up, maybe I had too much coffee that morning, I don't know. But it wouldn't leave. So literally as we're leaving the mall, we're looking out the parking lot, like we're at the doors, we're about to go out the parking lot, I say in my heart to God, God, I'm gonna pass on this opportunity today. Which shows I really knew it was him. And instantly I heard him say, Anne Marie, the gospel is here today. And I was like, oh snap, that's good. I didn't make that up, that's definitely God. So I was like, okay. So I told my husband, Tim, I was like, you know what, I think I got a word for that girl. I need to go back. So I turn around, like I'm a very visual person. So I'm like facing the windows of the parking lot. So I turn around, I start walking back to Payless. And as I'm walking, I hear the Holy Spirit say, Anne Marie, you are walking in freedom. So I just stopped fighting that, what I heard, stopped asking questions, stopped being confused, and I just went with it.
Yeah.
Right? And I was walking in freedom. So I went back in the store. This is going to be awesome, sorry. Show you guys how like bumbling and confused I could be. But I went back in the line to talk to this girl, because she's at the cash. But then someone lined up behind me. And I'm like, okay. So then I went to pretend to shop. Looking at shoes again. I'm like embarrassed and don't really know what I'm doing. So then the line dies down, so I'm like, okay, get back in the line, like super brave. But I get back in the line. And I'm back in line just waiting, hoping no one like gets in line behind me. And I'm in line the second time and I hear left ear. Whoa. Now my faith is rising. Because now I've heard hearing loss and left ear. Like you can't make this stuff up. So then I get up to the lady at the counter, Emily. And I'm like, hi, do you remember me? I was in here a little while ago buying shoes. And I said, can I ask you a random question? Do you have hearing loss? And she said, what? Confirmed. She hadn't heard me. So I said again, a little louder. I said, do you have hearing loss? And is it in your left ear? And like, you know the deer in the headlights look? She had it. She was like, yeah, how do you know that? I'm like, well, when I was in here earlier, I felt like God nudged my heart and said that you had hearing loss in your left ear. And I said, no, I believe if I pray for you, he wants to heal you. And she's still like kind of stunned. She's like, okay. And I was like, I know you're at work, and I don't want to embarrass you, but can I hold your hand? In the middle of Payless, in the middle of all, in the middle of the room. Anyways, so she's still stunned. I guess she just agreed to it. So we held hands, and I just said, in the name of Jesus, ear be opened. And nothing happened. But I was like, wait, there's no way God would say hearing loss, left ear, just for a party trick. Like, he wanted to do something here. So I'm like, okay, can I put my hand on your ear? And she's still stunned, so she goes with it. So I put my hand on her ear, and I say, thank you, Holy Spirit, thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, ear be opened, and it opened. She's like, she was still stunned. She started looking around. I'm like, and I'm waiting, because I don't actually know what's happened. And I'm like, what happened? And she's like, this is so weird. This is so weird. I was like, what's weird? Is that good weird? Is it bad weird? And she's like, I can hear the music in the store. She's like, I think it's as good as my other one. This is so weird. And she just kept on going with that. And so she's excited and confused. I'm excited and confused. And I'm like shaking, because I'm vibrating with the goodness of God, because I've just seen my first miracle. And all I could think to do was say, well, God loves you. He just wanted to heal you. Have a great day. Yes. See ya. Oh, this is fun. So I have no idea where Emily is now. I have no idea, but I do know that God touched her. She experienced the glory of God that day, and that she will never forget it. Like, that is the goodness of God. That, I believe, is His will. Do I see every person I pray for healed? No. But I will tell you something. The law of averages. I pray for no one, I'll see no one healed through my prayers. The more I pray for, the more I see. And honestly, it is true. God has proven to me, if you are willing to practice, be humble, and be discipled, you will see people healed through your prayers. The more I practice, the more I let myself be humble and be goofy and make mistakes, the more I see Him flow through me and heal the sick. I believe that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and I believe that sickness came through the fall. Sick is oppression. It says that in the Bible. It says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were sick. So God says it's good when you heal the sick. Jesus healed when it was inconvenient. He healed on the Sabbath. He broke all the rules to heal the sick because Jesus said it is better to do good on the Sabbath than to not. It is good to heal. I believe this is a truth that God wants for His church again. And that's why I talk about it, even though it's sensitive, and even though people can sometimes get very hurt by it, because I think the weight is far greater to pursue it, that it's far more important to pursue it than to stay where we've been. I do believe that God wants to change our mindsets. So I recently moved. If you follow me on Facebook, you know this. For the first time in 10 years, we moved house. And a lot of things in my life tend to be symbolic. You know, like the one prophet had to like lay on his side for half a year and it was like a symbol of something. I'm kind of like that. So as I'm packing, for every box that I'm keeping, I'm probably donating two, because God put it so strongly on me that He wanted me to declutter and to get rid of baggage. Like I said earlier, I like a good deal. I'm very cheap. And so we had a lot of stuff given to us for free. Family, from friends, from people, like my Sun Life financial advisor gave me something. Like, people just give us things for free because they don't want it anymore. And that's great. It's great to get things for free, but eventually you get clutter and you get baggage that is not meant to be yours. And I really felt like when I was moving house, God said, Amory, it's a new day, it's a new season, it's a new era, and I don't want that old baggage anymore in your life. So you got to declutter it. And if you've been to my house, Sarah can probably attest to this. I'm not a messy person. Not really that much clutter, but it was still clutter. And God wanted me to purge it. And I want to share that with you today because I think He wants to declutter our mindsets. What have we been told that's actually not His will? What have we heard from the pulpit? What have we learned from our own experience? What have friends, well-meaning friends, told us? Like, look at the friends of Job. They were wonderful friends. They sat with him in silence for a week when everything was happening to him. But once they opened their mouth, it wasn't wisdom. It wasn't from the heart of God. So there's stuff like that in our lives and in our hearts and in our mindsets that I believe God wants us to purge. And I believe that if we do, we will see more because we will expect more. We will be like the woman with the issue of blood who said, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I will be healed. No one had done that yet. The crowd was pressing in on Him to be healed, but they wanted Him to pray for them. She's like, I don't even need that. I just need to touch the hem of His garment. I'm going to get something. Did you know that a few verses later, it says that everybody was begging Him just to touch the hem of His garment so they could be healed? She started something that other people started to expect. right? If he'd do it for her, he'll do it for me. I just need to touch the hem of his garment. And I think our God is so good. There's so many ways he can heal. He can heal through the scripture because they sent his word and he healed them. He can heal through the laying on of hands because he said, lay the hands on the sick and they will recover. And he can heal through expectation, just setting an atmosphere where his glory says, oh, that little bit of heaven is going to invade earth. And there's no sickness in heaven, so therefore you're going to be healed down here. There's so many ways that he can heal. I believe all we need to do as a church is shift our mindset. Now, when I say that, and if you are someone who struggles with sickness or you know someone who does, that is not meant to be personal blame that you have a bad mindset or that you don't have enough faith. That is 100% not what I'm trying to say. I believe this is something we need to get as a body so that we can lift each other up. Because it's very hard, I believe, to get this as an individual. There's some things we get better as a body that we can get as an individual. 100% you can go to God for healing, but there is bigger, give me the word, Father. There's a more dynamic release when it's a community of people in unity coming together. And it also helps lift those people up that have been covered with shame and with oppression because of their illness or because of what they're suffering from. Sometimes those people need to be lifted up by us so that they can be healed. So I want this to be something that as a body we can grow in together. Thank you, Father. I really think that God's excited because just like Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, but the original Martin Luther, the monk, right?
Yeah.
He got revelation on grace. Okay? So before him, the church had lost revelation on grace. It was very much the law and a lot of man-made tradition messing things up. So if it wasn't for him, we might not know of what we know about grace today. And I believe God wants to do the same thing. He wants to download the same thing with identity and with walking in the miraculous. He wants us to get it back because it was stolen from us. And that's another reason why I would never blame someone who has not received healing, because your healing was stolen from you. And if you've been taught that God wants to teach you something, you were lied to. You were lied to. Because my Jesus, on every page I look in the New Testament, on every single page almost, I can find an example of him healing someone. And I can't find a single example of him turning someone away and saying it wasn't God's will. And only once did he have to say it was his will. His actions spoke louder than words. It says in the Bible that Jesus is the express image of the invisible God, the exact representation of his being. Jesus is the will of God made flesh. So if Jesus did it, we know it's the Father's will. And Jesus went about doing good and healing all the sick because God was with him. Honestly, if you just hang out in the book, like in Matthew, every page. So I talked about the leper who was cleansed, the person with leprosy who was cleansed. Right after that, we have the centurion who received healing for his servant by just saying, you know what, Jesus, you don't even have to go to him. You are a man of authority, a man under authority. And I know that if you speak the words, because I'm also a man under authority, I know that if you just speak the words, my servant will be healed. And the servant was healed that same hour. That's still in Matthew chapter 8. And then after that, Peter's mother-in-law was healed of a fever. And then it says that many were healed that evening. In verse 16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and all who were, and he cast out, I have bifocals, so hold on here. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. And this is interesting. The next part talks about the fulfillment of prophecy. So I've heard it said that when it says in Isaiah 53 that he bore our sicknesses and our diseases and by his wounds we are healed, that that meant spiritual healing. I've got news for you. We weren't spiritually sick. We were spiritually dead. That's referring to healing. And it's, and if you don't believe me, it says right here in Matthew 8, verse 16, the verse I just read about how he healed all the sick. In verse 17, it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken about Isaiah. Man, seriously, guys. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So if you needed proof that Jesus died so that we could have physical healing, it's right there in Matthew chapter 8. He's not just talking about physical or even just emotional. And emotional is important. I work in mental health 100%. Emotional healing, need that. But by his stripes, we were physically healed. In fact, I believe that the blood of Jesus was to address sin, but his body was broken and bruised to address the effects of sin, being sickness as one of them. Not that you've sinned if you're sick, but that with sin entering the world, sickness entered the world. Poverty entered the world. Mental torment entered the world. That's the effects of sin in the world, on creation. And Jesus, I believe, his body was broken and bruised. And it says, by those bruises, we were healed. By those wounds, depending on your translation. Because I've often asked myself, why did he have to be beaten up so much? He took our punishment, but he also was dealing with the effects of sin on the world and on us. Because it was a complete salvation at the cross. Right? The word salvation means saved, healed, and delivered. So whatever your ailment, spiritual, physical, emotional, I believe Jesus took care of the whole package. And when I asked Jesus, when I said, God, what do you want me to share today? The first thing he told me was, it is finished. So when Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished. He wants us to know, just like when Stephen said, we don't earn our righteousness, we don't earn right standing with God. It's not a works gospel. It's all that applies to healing. We don't earn it. Another story that kind of touches on this. I was in Miami at a conference. Great to have friends that ask you to be on their prayer team in Miami. Like, that's a hardship. there was this thing going on in the front. And I went over to see what was happening. It was during worship. And I saw they were praying for this guy. And this is no judgment here, but I'm going to tell you some of the things I heard. I saw one woman in particular praying for this guy. Oh, God, he's such a good man. He serves you. Heal him, God. Take away his pain because he's such a good man. And that's not, as much as she was well-meaning, we do not ever earn healing, okay? In fact, I often see, most often, unbelievers are the people I see be healed. So we do not earn healing. And then they were praying for his back to be healed, okay? Nothing was happening. And then I walk up, and this is like, I'm just someone who's been practicing. If I can do this, you can do this too. This is not Amory tooting her own horn. This is me saying Jesus says it's possible, and we're going to walk in it. So I go up here, and I'm like, in my heart, I'm like, wait, it's not his back that's the issue. He has one leg longer than the other. And if you know anything about our anatomy, if you got one leg off, your hip off, and your back's off. So that was the root of the issue. So I was like, actually, can I just kind of get in here? So I just lifted up his legs. He was sitting down because his back was hurting. And I was just like, okay, I've seen Todd White do it, I can do it. Seriously, faith of a child, right? So I was just like, all right, in the name, so he put his legs together and they're like a good maybe inch apart. And I was like, do you know that you have one leg longer than the other? He's like, yep. Okay. At least we're on the same page here. So I was like, in the name of Jesus, leg grow. And it grew. And later that night, that man that could hardly like stand, and it even hurt to sit, later that night he was dancing, praising God. He was healed not because he's a good Christian, not because we were reminding God of all the good works he's done to earn it. He was healed simply because we can do this. And it also raises another point. So let's say they had continued to pray back, be healed, back, be healed, back, be healed, and didn't see anything. Does that mean it wasn't God's will? Or were they just praying for the wrong thing? So I'm a social worker, and before we do treatment with someone with a mental health issue, we need to assess what the problem is. So if they come to me with anxiety, I need to say, is this related to diet and environment? Is this related to neurotransmitters in their brain? Is it related to trauma and lifestyle? I have to figure this out so I know how to properly treat them. Healing is very similar, because I know at least two examples now where we've prayed for people's back repeatedly, see nothing until we realize it's an issue of the legs, prayed for the legs, the back was healed. So I could say a false doctrine and say, oh, maybe God didn't want to heal them, maybe he wants to teach them something, you know, maybe they need more spiritual, maybe it's just a gift that passed away, all these things we hear and have been taught. Or I could say, God, show me what the problem is and show me how to pray so that I can see your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which is how Jesus taught us how to pray. And I'm telling you, there's no sickness in heaven, so therefore it is his will on earth that there be no sickness and no suffering. And one of the best ways to reach people who don't know God is with the tangible love of God that he wants to remove their suffering. If someone is healed, they are a lot more likely to hear the gospel. And Jesus did that. He taught the gospel with signs and wonders following. So instead of asking people to come to church so they can learn to be a good person and then get saved, how about we go to them and say, God wants you well. He wants to provide for you. He wants to take care of your needs. He wants you to not have mental health issues anymore. He wants you to have joy. And you can have this all the time because he loves you and he died for you. And he's paid for it. You don't even have to earn it. Just be restored into a relationship with him. That's a much more appealing gospel, I think. The most atheist, offended person can crumble and melt when they've experienced the tangible love of God. And when you are healed, you feel love. Like it's his love. Jesus said the compassion moved Jesus to heal the sick. Like what I had with Emily at the Payless, I had that moment of, God, you really love this girl. And she got healed. It was his love that revealed to me that word of knowledge, that she had hearing loss, and then she was healed. And I believe the more we practice, the more risks we take, the more we will see. Are we fully there yet? No. I do not see every single person I pray for healed, but I see a lot more than I used to. And when it comes to faith, in terms of that mindset shift, I don't believe it's faith in healing, okay? I believe it's faith in God's goodness, that he wants to heal. Like the person with leprosy said, God, I believe you can heal me if you're willing. We don't have a problem with believing that God can. We have a problem believing whether he wants to. So if you can get it in your heart, if you can ask Holy Spirit, don't even just listen to what I'm saying, ask Holy Spirit, show me God, show me so I know beyond a shadow of a doubt what your will is regarding healing. If you can get to that place, I 100% guarantee you, you will start to see people healed. Because that is the issue of faith. When Jesus said, oh, you of little faith, when the disciples couldn't heal that boy, maybe you know that story, so they tried to cast out a demon from a boy, and it didn't work. So then the father got Jesus involved, and Jesus did it. The disciples went to him later and said, Jesus, why couldn't we do it? And he said, oh, because of your little faith. And then he says, this type only comes out by prayer and fasting. So for a lot of times, I thought that meant, okay, they don't have enough faith, but if they had prayer and they fasted, they would have more faith to see people healed. I actually believe we're reading that wrong. Micah actually shared this with me once, and I've heard it again since, so I think it's true. God, Jesus wasn't referring to prayer and fasting for the demon to come out. He was referring to prayer and fasting to change their mindset. He said, this type of belief only comes out with prayer and fasting. And it was because of a belief problem that maybe God didn't want it to happen, that they weren't seeing it happen. It is so refreshing to me that Jesus gave authority to his disciples, sent them to go and heal the sick, and they didn't get it right all the time, because we can be the same. He's given us authority, he's given us power, but we need to practice. And that's okay. And over time, our mindset is gonna change, and we're gonna see more and more. And even Jesus had to pray for someone twice. I am so thankful that example is in the Bible. A man came to him, was blind, and he prayed for him once. And the man said, I see men like trees walking around. I don't know how he knew what trees were, but because he was, maybe he was like legally blind but not fully blind, I don't know. But he said, I see men with trees walking around. So Jesus prayed for him a second time. So if Jesus, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, had to pray twice, maybe we need to be a little more persistent and have a little more perseverance and like be like a dog with a bone with this thing. Like, I've prayed for people and not seen them heal, but I've said to them, you know what, I'm stubborn. I'm going to still be believing for you. Because we need to see breakthrough in this area. And we need to be okay with not always seeing it happen for a little bit. And then I think we'll start to see it happen.
And be sensitive to people who don't receive it. For the unbelievers, they're often not discouraged because they weren't expecting anything when you go up to them and try and pray for them. You know, it's not like they've been going to God for years and saying, God, please heal me. Like, they're sick and they're used to it. For Christians, it can be very discouraging. God, why hasn't it happened yet? So we need to be sensitive to that. But in being sensitive, not use that as a reason or excuse to stay comfortable, but let it propel us and compel us to see that injustice made right so that people can walk in their inheritance that Jesus died and suffered to give us. Like, I can't even tell you, I hope it's coming across, like this burns inside of me because my Jesus paid for it and he wants people free from suffering. He wants people like my mom to be made well. And she wasn't, but you know what? At her funeral, I said, God, I sow her life as a seed. Because a seed has to die to produce much fruit. So I said, God, her life is a seed. I want to see people saved, healed, and delivered. That's my harvest. And I'm believing for it. And I offer that to all of you guys, too. Because in the book of Romans, Paul had written a lot of beautiful doctrine and a lot of wisdom. But at the end he said, I hope that I can come to you and impart some spiritual gift. So what he was saying, even though I've taught you all these things, there's still something that I can only give you through the Spirit of God. So I want to do that with you guys today. So hopefully I've shared with you some knowledge, some wisdom, some insight, but I also believe God wants to do some impartation. So you can walk on in this 100% just with the Word of God. If you just know the scriptures that by his wounds I am healed, you know that Jesus is good, that's enough to pray for people, 100%. And I think we'll see more if we believe it corporately, and I think we'll see even more if we receive impartation, okay? It's like God's like so good, he's just so dynamic, there's so much we don't even fully understand, and we leave room for that because he's full of glory. And I want a God that I don't fully understand, but I do understand that he's good. So I'm going to ask you guys to stand. And just put yourself in a physical posture to receive. And whatever that might be, it might be hands out, it might just be in your pocket, whatever to you feels right. And it's okay to look silly because we will become even more indignified than this. And I think that humility goes a long way because we're for an empty vessel, we can be filled. So thank you, Father. Thank you so much, God, for your will to heal. Thank you that you are good all of the time, not just when we feel like it. Thank you that you see the brokenhearted, you see those that are discouraged and confused, and I just pray in Jesus' name that all of that would be wiped away and that darkness would be replaced with light. I thank you for changed mindsets, God. I thank you that you're getting rid of baggage and clutter in our hearts and minds that have made us believe things that were not your intention, believe things that were not your actual heart and you're not actually your will, God. And God, I ask that anything that you've given to me, you would give to them, Father. Any spiritual gift, any anointing to heal the sick, in Jesus' name, Lord, I freely give to them. I invite you to just, yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Daddy. Bring heaven to earth right now, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Impart words of knowledge, Father, so that people will have random awesome conversations with people that they come across and find out information about them that they can only know by your Spirit, God. Because that will create expectation in that person when they realize that person knows something that they shouldn't know. Thank you, Father, for points of contact in the faith, for words of prophecy, for words of encouragement. And I thank you, God, for healing power right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your dunamis power, God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I just hear him say, like, impart wisdom. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, you also impart wisdom. Father, to navigate this well. Thank you, Father, to be sensitive to broken hearts, but bold and unwilling to let this go. Father, please, Lord, forgive us as a church for having let it go for too long, God. We want our inheritance back. We want it back 100-fold, Father. Because Jesus said, anyone who believes in me, he will do the works I've been doing, and greater than these will he do. I have not seen the greater works yet, God. And I want to see them. Because you said I could. And I pray for every person in this room that they would see greater works, God, because you said they could. And I pray that we would all, like Stephen said, just have more intimacy with you. Come into that place where we can be vulnerable and posture our hearts to have more intimacy with you, and that through that outflow, people will just get healed. People will just be encouraged. You know, that our shadow, would people be healed with our shadow? Because that happened in the Bible. It's got to be true. And I thank you, God, that you do not show favoritism. So what any of your saints could walk in, we can walk in. And I thank you that Jesus is a man anointed by the Holy Spirit, and so are we. We are people anointed by the Holy Spirit who can go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed by the devil, because God is with us. Thank you, Father. God, rock our world. Even tonight during praise night, let people just be healed. Because heaven just opens up and whoop, they're healed. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for outbursts of heaven. Thank you, God. Thank you, Daddy, that you've anointed us to heal the sick and raise the dead. And yes, I will say it, because we will see it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Daddy. I'm thinking of the Ten Commandments movie that's really, really old, where he said, the Pharaoh said, "So let it be written, so let it be done." So in Jesus' name, everything that's been spoken today, Lord, let it be written on our hearts, and so let it be done. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Visit discipleascity.ca for information and event information.